is there a little too much made of having, you know, all the secrets, the ingredients, because he was with the Redskins last year, and how much will you dive into that with him to get kind of an idea of what they like to do beyond, you know, all the study that you guys have done?
You know, I think there's been around and a part of this kind of dynamic many times over the years. There's usually a general debriefing. My experience is it's usually a little bit overrated. So you still debrief. That's the thing to do. But you still focus on your plan and what you know.
Last year, you only got in the end zone against the Redskins once in the two games. What was it about their defense that where you weren't able to score more?
They played well. They put pressure on us. They put pressure on the quarterback. We were in a lot of long yardage situations. You know, we weren't in sync really in any of our phases. So we have to be better in all areas against this team. I mean, they can be a good defense. They have good players. They had a good plan against us last year. We just need to be better this year.
What's Alshon providing that wasn't very
good? You know, I think for every quarterback, there's a great feeling that you have as a quarterback when you're either in the shotgun or under center, and you kind of look out there and you see your guy, and you look across and you see who's covering him. And when you have a feeling as a quarterback like he's always open, he can always win, it gives a quarterback a lot of confidence. And that's – you can't underestimate how important that is, and I think that's a primary thing that Alshon brings to the table.
As a quarterback, when you have a guy like that, does it take a little while to understand that in game situations that even if he's not open, he's open?
I do think it's always developing and where you can throw it and where those windows are. And certainly, you know, he's got big catch radius and excellent ball skills and versus different corners and on certain different routes. On contested catches, on a slant route, it looks different than on a go route and where you place that ball. So some of that you do grow in developing and reading his body language and finding just how far you can stretch him because he does have a big catch radius.
Lane's first game of his suspension was the at Washington game last year. What have you noticed from him as he's gearing up for, you know, a season where it looks like he's out for a little bit of, you know, redemption?
I mean, I think Lane has... You know, Lane just looked great. I mean, he's had a great offseason, great camp. Lane is he's a leader in a lot of ways. He's not the most vocal leader, but love the way he practices, love his intensity. You know, he's a very intense individual. And I think you can see that when he's in the meeting room, when he's on the practice field, and we're looking forward to a great game and a great season from him, for sure.
Do you envision a more balanced game plan as opposed to last year, going into this year? With the offensive line playing as well as we envision them playing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we go in every week wanting to be balanced. You know, and there's always a 10% margin either way on that as what balanced is, let's just say, for example. And you just don't want to go to the extremes very often. You know it's going to happen in the course of 16 games. You know there's going to be games where you're a little run heavy, and there's going to be some games where you end up being pass heavy. It usually always happens. But in the perfect world, you know, we can keep them off balance. As an offense, every offense wants to do the same thing. You want to dictate the tempo, and you want to you want to impose your will on the defense. And what that means is that you want to be able to run the ball when you want to run it and throw it when you want to throw it and do the different kind of things, you know, the drop back stuff, the empties, the movements, play pass, all those things. You want to mix those in. You have a plan on how you're going to attack. You have every phase of this. You emphasize certain things certain weeks based on the opponent you're playing and who you have. And then as the course of the game goes, you adjust and you get a feel as a play caller, and which I think Coach does a great job of where we're excelling at. And so, yeah, I think we want to be balanced.
Going into this week, knowing you have your quarterback in place, he has a full year of experience under his belt, as opposed to last year when, you know, the trade was just made and you're like, oh, wow, Carson's the quarterback, we got to get him ready. I mean, how much of a difference is that?
It's a huge difference in every way. It's not that he's prepared. He's emotionally and physically and in every way he's a better player. And you still got to go out and prove that, and it starts this week. But he's proven it in every phase of the off season. We've been able to see it. Everyone can see it. I mean, everyone can see the improvements that are made, his complete command of the offense, his leadership on the team. I think those have all been expected strides, but I would say he's exceeded, at some incremental level, he's exceeded the strides that you want. You can't go from here to here. You can't jump 2-3 steps in a year. No player, it just doesn't happen. You like to think that, but you can go in small increments, and I think that he has done that and really exceeded where I think you would expect him to be.
As in, what was it like last year at this time, putting together a game plan for the opener, like with a quarterback who barely played like during the preseason, and wondering if he can handle all this stuff and everything?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was a real big focus on keeping it extremely simple. You always want to be able to play fast, but certainly when you have a rookie quarterback like we did last year who really didn't play much in the preseason. But a credit to Carson was he was prepared. He was mentally prepared. I mean, he's off the charts smart. I mean, that's been well documented and discussed. But even though he wasn't getting physical reps, even while he was hurt in preseason, he was a real pro and extremely gifted and talented in that area to have a pretty good embrace on the offense.
As a follow-up on Alshon, you have players of that talent. What's the ideal number of targets that they want to get in this direction?
I think if you're looking at an ideal number of targets, again, the flow of the game is going to dictate that. But I can here's what I would say, is that we go through the game plan, and you guys have heard us say this before, is we have our 17 plays. Here's plays that are designed to go to 17. And sometimes in the course of play calling, you can't, like we might have X number of plays that are where he's the primary guy and you envision getting 10 or 12 of those to him. Then the flow of the game goes a little different than you anticipated. So it's hard to put a direct number on it, but certainly he is a primary playmaker for us who we're going to make a conscious effort to get the football.
A good sense, Frank, of how you're going to deploy this running back group? Do you have a guy to sort of hang your hat on
I think it's exciting to think about how to deploy this running back group. The by committee thing, and as coaches alluded to, the hot hand thing. Again, that's all for the flow of the game. But again, when you're putting together that plan and you're looking through and we literally at every skill position go through every play and say, who do we want in on this play? Who is utilized best on this play? And sometimes the answer is, well, hey, we can have LeGarrette and Wendell. They both would be suitable for this play. So sometimes there's more than one guy, and we kind of keep that in mind. And one time we'll run the play with one. The next time we might run it with the other guy. If the one guy hits it hard and good the first time, we might just let him roll with it again the second time. And then there's things where obviously we're using Darren and mixing things up like that. So it's exciting to do, to look through. It's not hard to do. It's very tedious. It's the kind of detail that you have to do in game planning to go through every play, every position. Are we best utilizing our players? Because ultimately it's about players making plays, and it's our job to put them in position to do that.
Carson's ability to extend plays, Frank, how much more time did you spend this summer on scramble drills and things like that with him and the receivers than maybe you did last year with Sam? And where are they right now as far as being in sync on that?
I think we've spent an appropriate amount of time drilling it in the offseason. In 7-on-7 drills, we mix in scrambles. We're obviously, you're in a 7-7 drill. There's no rush, but, you fake scrambles to get guys and try to get it synced up. Some of that's hard to do without really it being live. Preseason games are the best for that. But in practice, when we have manufactured scramble drills, you've seen some improvement. We can coach off the tape on those things. So I think we've made progress there, but obviously be put to the test coming up here.
When you look at Carson now and his development as a player, are you guys going to do more? All right, you're going to go to the line and run the play, or are there going to be time to run pass checks, or does he have the ability to change a play if he sees something? Is he that far in his development?
Yeah, he's absolutely that. I mean, he was doing a lot of that last year just because of, he has, I think, special ability in that area. But some of it's not just a matter of smarts. Some of it's a matter of feel and reading body language and, you know, hearing what the defense is saying and just feeling certain things that the great quarterbacks feel. You know, when they're showing you one look and you know you're laughing inside saying, they're not doing that. I know what they're doing. But that's what great players do. And there was a lot of evidence that Carson has those instincts and abilities, not only the intellectual abilities, but the instinctive things that you need as a quarterback. So that comes in very handy. You know, teams fake an all-out blitz, and then they're going into coverage. Or they look like coverage, and they're going all-out blitz. And as a quarterback, you don't want to put too much on them. But you have to be able to do enough to get you in and out of certain plays. You don't want to have to do that 30, 40 times a game. But there might be 5 or 10 times that are absolutely critical and essential that you get us out of this play and get us to something that's going to work. And then the run checks and the pass, you know, we check run to run, run to pass, pass to run. We always mix that up so a defense can't narrow in on us on what we're doing with our checks, because they're all keeping all those stats of when you're checking plays, or you're always checking to run, or you're always checking to pass. We track that pretty good ourselves, and we always make sure that they can't get too much on us in that area.
Sproles had 90-plus carries last year. Obviously, Ryan Matthews is injury factor into that. But is that what you want to use him, or is the focus more in terms of space?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Darren is a great space. You know, get him out in space. We can – great route runner, great hands. Do that as much as we can. But he can run the football. And so – and obviously, you know, he's another one of our primary playmakers, and we got to get him the ball, and in the run game and the pass game. And there are certainly more certain runs that are a little bit more suited to him. But Darren's so strong. I mean, everybody knows that he's legendary, right? This guy's one of the strongest guys, pound for pound, probably in the league. So, yeah, you don't want to run him up inside a zillion times, but he's not a slight guy. This guy's a powerful man, and so we have no problem mixing up the kind of runs we use. Certainly some more conducive for him than others, but at the end of the day, we want to get him his touches.
We've seen Nelson have a really strong spring and a summer, and he'd be the first to tell you that it doesn't really matter until the games start coming. Is there still a level of skepticism that he's gotten over that hump heading into this season?
I don't think there's any skepticism in here. I mean, you have seen him day after day after day after day put together solid practices that he's looked great. So I have no reason to believe that that's not what's going to be what we see this season.
There's always sort of an unknown going into week one of the offseason. What are you most curious to see how it translates from the offseason and preseason to week one?
Fast start and just score more points early. You know, I just think we need to be more productive. We want to be more productive early in games. You know, obviously everybody wants to get ahead early, and you want to score a lot of points. But, you know, we did some good things last year. We just need better production in situational football. And at the end of the day, that needs to result in just more points scored. And certainly we want to get off to a fast start, and because needless to say, that just puts our whole team in a good position.